Don't really know how to start this morning. Been a little while since I've been up here, so it's a little bit awkward again. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto you now and forever. Amen. This morning we are going to be looking at what has been following in our church calendar from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And for those of you that think that Pastor Jerry is on vacation, he's actually on a staycation, so he's been in the area. And I got to talk to him about this a little bit last night, and it was a great thing to realize, you know, there's a reason that I've been put here. There's a reason that I've been put in this area. Just, you know, I mean, we went hunting last night, and Jerry had some luck. I had some bad luck. But to talk to him, I mean, we talked about a half hour about this, and it's just amazing to me how well him and I fit together. I mean, there's no other way to explain it, but it's been done by the hand of God. The way that we can understand each other. And as soon as I asked him a question about it, he knew exactly what I was asking. So it's just in my preparation for this sermon, this sermon has already been a blessing to me. So I pray that it'll also be a blessing unto everyone here. The text comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. I'd ask, as you are able, to please stand for the reading of the Gospel text. Again, we read in the name of our Lord. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldst do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, one and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized, withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him, and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen. Please be seated. It's only 10 verses, but there's a lot there. We start out with James and John making a request. And they do it much the same way that we would ask for something big. First, we're going to find out if it's possible. They go up and ask that Jesus would do whatever they would want him to do. And Jesus doesn't say yes or no. He just says, well, what do you want me to do? And they have kind of an odd request. They want to sit on the right and left hand of Jesus in heaven. They want to be placed next to the King in heaven. Yeah, I personally, I always thought of heaven as, you know, we'll go up there and there's going to be no classes, nobody over anyone else. We'll all be like we should be here. Just all friends and neighbors. Nobody with any power over anyone else. And I know that's kind of far-fetched for down here since we all need to work, but it'll be great when we're up there, I think. And Jesus doesn't tell them, as usual, he doesn't tell them the answer right away. He uses this as an opportunity to teach. He tells them that you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? Now this sounds like pretty serious stuff. Because the cup that Jesus drinks is his death. It comes on to him from that last supper that he had with his disciples. That he takes the sin of man upon himself and is put to death. And the baptism with which he is baptized really isn't that much different from our own baptisms. A baptism is a joining together. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a joining together of you and the Holy Spirit. And James and John say very readily that we are able to drink of that cup and to be baptized with that baptism. Now, Jesus doesn't look at them and try to tell them to prove it, or try to tell them to explain themselves. Jesus looks at them and says, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized." They will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they will be joined with the Holy Spirit. And they will drink of that cup. They will die for that service. They are sacrificing themselves. They're putting the work of the Lord before themselves by drinking of that cup. Now we know this isn't a literal cup that we can go up and drink. But it is a cup that we can all drink of. May not seem like a very good one to go to, considering that it means your death. But it is a great one to go to, because it means the death of our old self, the death of that selfish sinner. And the new life of a Christian. Now Jesus comes back and says, "To sit at my right or my left hand is not mine to give." But it is for those for whom it has been prepared. Now, I know I've heard a lot of speculation on this as far as who will sit where or who they think that's prepared for. But the truth is, it really doesn't matter. Those are the things of God, the kingdom of heaven. We will have a king in heaven, and that's all we need to know. We will be able to freely praise him, and all we want to do is praise him. Now the other disciples have heard James and John asking for the right and left hand of the throne. And they're kind of displeased, as would anyone would be. If you're working alongside your coworkers, and one of your coworkers goes up to the boss and says, "Hey, I think I deserve a promotion," they must be thinking they're doing better than you are. So, that's what the disciples are thinking. These guys think they're better than us. They think they got to go up and sit at the right and left hand. But Jesus doesn't even acknowledge this. He calls them over to him. And he explains some things to them. "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. This is putting it pretty simple. The rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. They make it known that they are the rulers by ruling. They order them around, and they get their will done by ordering them around. The great ones exercise authority over them. Anyone in a position of power, even within our own local governments, or national or state governments, for whatever matter, anyone with a position of authority, of power, uses that power. And Jesus says, "It shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all." puts it into a little different perspective. We come back to verse 31 of chapter 10, where it says, "Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Now, I don't see too many people that get praised for being a servant. We see people that get praised for being an athlete, for being a rally driver. Very few people get praised for being a servant. Mother Teresa was considered one of the greatest servants of all. I don't think I ever recall hearing of someone going up to her and asking for her autograph. I know she wasn't rich, not monetarily anyway. She considered herself very rich, but she had no money. But those people that give us a little bit of Sunday afternoon entertainment, we'll run up to them and ask for their autographs and get pictures taken with them. But really, they haven't done a whole lot. And I could go into the government and start talking about that kind of stuff, but I'd rather not do that, because it's a little bit too heated of an issue. But there's a lot of people that we know who receive praise. We'll go back to the King James Version for the same verse. "So shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister." Minister is another word for servant. Remember that, somebody tells you the next time you should be a minister. To minister is to give. This up here, this is preaching. There's a big difference. So it's pretty simple to become a minister. And apparently it's considered a great thing. To be someone that can give of whatever they can. To give words of encouragement. To give a few bucks. Anything. If it is given out of love, you are a servant of God. And you are great. But whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. I don't like that part. I don't like that anyone should have to be a slave. But that's what it says. So, what do we do? Would you want for anyone that you know to be a slave? Well, I've asked that question, and in my mind I'm thinking, well, there might be a couple, but honestly, no. We don't want anyone to be a slave to anyone. But it says it right here. So what do? We minister to them. We let them know that their God has created them and their Savior has died for them. So they will not be a slave in the end. That is the way to keep people from being slaves. Be a slave yourself. I switched the term there a little bit. I hope you don't mind. But when it comes right down to it, we are slaves. Our calling is to be a servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are called to put down our own ideas, our own ambitions, and to follow those of our Lord. The only slave and master relationship that involves love. Because He does love us. He died because of His love. It's the only master and slave relationship that has been reversed. Because He is our slave also. When He drank of that cup and took our sins and went upon that cross and died for us, He was our slave and servant. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. It's a beautiful thing. Jesus Christ was sent to this earth to serve us. He walked through His life teaching, nurturing, and caring for everyone around Him. And in the end, He laid down His life for all of us. So He is the greatest among us. Because He was our servant. Because He died for us. So we can serve Him. We can do it freely with boldness, with courage, we can go forth and serve Him. Because He died for us. He has paid that ransom for us. We no longer need to worry about anything but what He wants us to do. Sure, some other things might come up. But if there's one thing I've learned in these past few years at the seminary, when problems come up, you're just going to make them bigger if you try to take care of them yourself. Give them to God. And He will take care of them because we are His faithful and loving servants. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for giving us this day that we may come here and enjoy Your word in freedom. Father, we ask that You would guide this word to our hearts and our minds so that we may accept it however You need us to accept it. Father, we ask that You would be with us as we go through the coming week, that You would guide us and You would show us how we may serve You and serve others around us. Amen.